from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian Tourism Minister ensures no entry ban for tourists during monkeypox outbreak. Japan grants $25 million for green ammonia in Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. The outbreak of monkeypox is increasingly spreading to various countries. The Indonesian Ministry of Health recorded 88 confirmed cases of monkeypox in Indonesia as of August 17, 2024. With the outbreak, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno at a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday appealed to the public not to panic and remain vigilant. Sandiaga Uno has also said Indonesia remains open to the entry of tourists, but the government will continue to ensure incoming tourists with thermal scanners and physical checks.
Ya. Dan narasi yang kita sampaikan bahwa Indonesia terbuka, tapi
and the narrative that we convey that Indonesia is open, but we also ensure the health of our citizens through thermal scanners and also physical checks when arriving from travel and flights. But as of today, we have no prohibitions. We are just increasing vigilance.
Kita tidak ada larangan. Kita hanya meningkatkan kewaspadaan.
Moreover, on the same occasion, the main expert of tourism and creative economy of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Niscaya, pointed out to anticipate the monkeypox outbreak, the government will reinforce health checking procedures at the airport, especially for direct flights. In addition, according to Nia, the government will also reinforce the electronic health alert card application, which must be filled in by flight travelers. The Indonesian government, through the International Development Cooperation Fund, or Indonesia Aid, has helped to reach 23 out of 54 African countries since 2019. Indonesia Aid is a one-stop institution for channeling development assistance to partner countries. Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Siti Nugraha Mauludiah, in her statement in Jakarta on Monday, pointed out the cooperation sectors carried out include food security, health, and energy. The leader of the World Catholic Church, Pope Francis, will make an apostolic visit to Indonesia on September 3rd to the 6th, 2024. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, stated he was grateful Indonesia will be one of the countries in the Asia-Pacific region visited by Pope Francis. Sandiaga also explained the visit of Pope Francis is not only a blessing for Catholics, but also a blessing for the whole community, including Indonesian tourism with increased hotel occupancy and movement of domestic tourists.
Tentunya harapannya ini membawa berkah buat semua termasuk hotel,
Of course, the hope is that this will bring blessing to all, including hotels. I see the projected occupancy of the route he will take to get to GBK could be full to welcome the Grand Mass held at GBK. So hopefully his visit will be greeted enthusiastically with enthusiasm and also bring blessings to all of our society, not only Catholics, but all who receive it.
Berkah bagi masyarakat kita semua, bukan hanya yang umat Katolik, tapi semuanya yang mendapat.
Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno further stated tour packages have been prepared for tourists during the visit of Pope Francis in Indonesia. According to Sandiaga Uno, the tour packages offer tourists to witness the Pope's visit in Jakarta, including participating in Mass or in various series of Pope Francis trips. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto pointed out the Japanese government plans to provide a grant of $25 million, or around 380 billion rupiah, for the development of a green ammonia project in Aceh. Minister Airlangga Hartarto in his statement in Jakarta on Monday explained the project is the result of a cooperation agreement to develop the Green Ammonia Initiative from Aceh between state-owned fertilizer company Pupuk Indonesia Corporation and Toyo Engineering. Now we move to the international news. The Kingdom's Foreign Ministry, Saudi Arabia, has said early Tuesday that Saudi Arabia has condemned an Israeli minister's remarks where he called to build a synagogue at Al-Aqsa Mosque. As reported by ArabNews.com, Israel's hardline security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, repeated a call for Jews to be allowed to pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, drawing sharp criticism for inflaming tensions as ceasefire negotiators seek a deal to halt fighting in Gaza. Japan has accused a Chinese spy plane of breaching its airspace in what would be the first known time that a Chinese plane has directly violated Japanese airspace. As reported by BBC.com, Japan scrambled fighter jets after a Y-9 surveillance plane violated the territorial airspace of Danjo Islands at 11:29 a.m. local time on Monday. Japan's chief cabinet secretary called the breach utterly unacceptable and summoned a Chinese embassy official in Tokyo in protest. We end the news with fresh from the Paris Olympics, kayaker Stephanie Chen is back home and paddling again. One area she needs to focus on is rowing symmetrically. As quoted by CNA.com, at a training session, national head coach Bill Lee monitored her rowing movements as they work on refining her techniques. Using a motion capture software, Lee could pinpoint areas Chen needed to improve on as she paddled on a kayak ergometer, an indoor high-tech simulator. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary focuses on Constitutional Court verdict on the 2024 regional elections, a glimmer of hope for democracy in Indonesia. Last week, the House of Representatives attempted to revise the regional elections law to overturn the Constitutional Court verdict concerning the nomination threshold set by political parties and the minimum age requirements for regional leaders. This move sparked a huge wave of protests from students and various societal groups in several cities across Indonesia. The Constitutional Court verdict has disrupted the landscape of candidates for the 2024 regional elections, a development seemingly disfavored by the political elites in Senayan. In response to the protests, the House convened a hearing with the General Election Commission and the government to consult on the draft of the Commission Regulation No. 8 of 2024 concerning the Constitutional Court verdict on regional leadership nominations. The meeting held on Sunday also included the Minister of Law and Human Rights to expedite and enact the verdict. Given the timeline for the 2024 regional elections, candidate registration is set to occur simultaneously from August 27 to 29, 2024 across 508 regions, and meanwhile, the finalization of candidate pairings for the election is scheduled to be completed by September 22, 2024. Following the hearing with the House and the government on Sunday, the Commission officially issued Regulation No. 10 of 2024 regarding regional election nominations later than evening. This regulation incorporates the Constitutional Court verdict. The Constitutional Court verdict has notably unsettled the political landscape for the 2024 regional elections, causing some candidates to withdraw from their parties and run independently, while others have shifted their support to new or aligned parties. The reduction in the political threshold for candidate nominations has led to political parties retracing their support from previous alliances to form or join new like-minded parties. Ultimately, the Constitutional Court verdict concerning the 2024 regional elections offers a glimmer of hope for Indonesia's democracy. Following widespread dissatisfaction with the 2024 presidential election, the verdict, which has garnered broad support from both the public and political elites, has reinstated the prestige of Indonesia's highest legal institution. Whereas political parties have traditionally been the primary determinants of political strength and electoral success, the legal institution verdict may shift this balance, placing greater importance on the electoral base, the voters, as the crucial deciding factor. Well, listener, that's the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal. Listener, we begin today in history with the first flight of a jet aircraft. The Henkel He-178 was the world's first aircraft to fly powered by a turbojet engine and was one of the first practical jet planes. The Henkel He-178 was a private venture of the German company Henkel, led by Ernst Henkel, as a developer of high-speed aviation technology. The aircraft first flew on August 27, 1939, piloted by Erich Warshees. We move on the death of Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie was the emperor of Ethiopia, ruling from April 2, 1930 to September 12, 1974. He is known for modernizing Ethiopia in the social, economic, and educational sectors. Under Selassie's leadership, Ethiopia became a significant political force in Africa after World War II. On August 27, 1975, Selassie reportedly died due to respiratory failure and complications from prostate disease. In November 2000, his remains were given a proper burial at Trinity Cathedral in Addis Ababa. We end today in history with the event of Moldova's Independence Day. Moldova celebrates its independence on August 27th each year. Located in Eastern Europe, Moldova was a part of the Kingdom of Moldavia. After being ceded to the Russian Empire, the region became known as Bessarabia. In 1856, southern Bessarabia was returned to Moldavia, and in 1859, it was united with Wallachia to form Romania. However, during the Russian Revolution of 1917, Bessarabia briefly became an autonomous region within Russia. In February 1918, the Moldavian Democratic Republic declared its independence. In 1940, Romania was forced to cede Bessarabia and northern Bukovina to the Soviet Union, leading to the creation of the Moldavian Soviet Socialist Republic. On August 27, 1991, as the Soviet Union was dissolving, Moldova declared its independence, officially taking the name Moldova. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
I'm not afraid to die.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesia's sports, health, and energy sector development in Africa. Indonesia has successfully implemented around 60 programs under the South-South Triangular Cooperation, involving approximately 500 participants from the African region. Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Siti Nugraha Mauludiah, revealed it in Jakarta on Sunday, August the 25th. Quoting the official website of the ministry, Siti Mauludiah emphasized that Indonesia is increasingly recognized internationally as a reliable development partner for developing countries. Indonesia's commitment is evident with the establishment of the International Development Cooperation Fund Agency, or Indonesia Aid, in 2019, which serves as a one-stop agency for channeling development assistance to partner countries. She added that since the establishment of Indonesia Aid, the development cooperation has reached 23 out of 54 countries in Africa. The sectors include food security, health, and energy. Furthermore, in the food security sector, Indonesia has supported the procurement of food to overcome the effects of drought in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Madagascar, as well as revitalizing several agricultural training centers in Gambia and Tanzania. In the health sector, Indonesia has donated medicines and medical equipment produced by state-owned pharmaceutical company PT Kimia Pharma to Mozambique and Zimbabwe. In 2023, Indonesia also delivered support in the form of 1,580,000 doses of pentavalent vaccine produced by another company, PT Bio Pharma, to Nigeria, distributed in two phases. Lastly, in the energy sector, Indonesia has provided capacity-building training on solar energy for Namibia, Mozambique, Sudan, Senegal, and Tanzania. Siti Nugraha Mauludiah reiterated that Indonesia remains committed to strengthening development cooperation with African countries as an equal and reliable alternative partner. She noted that the second Asia-Africa Forum, scheduled from September the 1st until 3rd, 2024, under the theme The Spirit of Bandung for Africa's Agenda 2063, is a key opportunity to strengthen tangible relations between Indonesia and Africa, which is expected to bring mutual prosperity. This aligns with Indonesian President Joko Widodo's statement during his visit to Tanzania in 2023, where he announced that Indonesia is finalizing a five-year grand design for development in Africa and striving to realize concrete collaboration with the region. That was my Indonesia Today.
We'll be right back. Of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to South Kalimantan, which is surrounded by islands, seas, and rivers. Therefore, it is not surprising that this province has a variety of culinary preparations from fish. One of them is Gangan Paliat. This dish is usually made from bone fish with thick coconut milk sauce. Gangan Paliat is a specialty of Tabalong Regency. The name Paliat comes from the village where this food originated, namely Paliat Village, Kaluwa District, South Kalimantan. The main ingredients of Gangan Paliat are usually baung fish, prawns, patin fish, and gabus mackerel fish. The gravy is made from thick coconut milk, turmeric, ginger, candle nuts, and shallots mixed with kaffir lime. The seasoning is 80% turmeric mixed with thick coconut milk and tamarind, resulting in a bright yellow gravy color. Listener, Gangan Paliat is often used as a side dish by local people and is usually eaten with rice. Gangan Paliat can be found in Kaluwa Market, Tanjung Market, Mabuon Market, and other markets in South Kalimantan. In restaurants, one portion of Gangan Paliat is sold between 20,000 to 75,000 rupiah, depending on the main ingredients of the paliat itself. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
Di bau-bau,
which means in bau-bau. You will listen to a conversation about
why,
which means
mengapa.
Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a tenun or woven cloth crest woman in bau-bau. Chris asked why many women in bau-bau are very skilled in making tenun or woven clothes. Let's listen to their conversations.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Well, after listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, why, which means
Mengapa?
We will say it two times slowly and please repeat it after us.
Saya.
Which means I.
Mengapa?
Which means why.
Banyak,
which means many.
Perempuan,
which means women.
Pandai,
which means to be skilled or good at.
Menenun,
which means weaving or making woven clothes.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving?
Tradisi.
Which means tradition.
Percaya.
Which means believe.
Membawa.
Which means bring.
Kebaikan.
Which means goodness.
Bagi,
which means for.
Keluarga,
which means family. In this conversation, you hear the expression
mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving? In the expression, there is the word
Mengapa,
which means why, is used to ask for the reason or explanations about something. The phrase
Bagaimana ceritanya,
is actually asking about the story behind something. Let's listen to another example of using
Mengapa,
which means why.
Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan? Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan?
Which means why do the people of Buton like to eat fish?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal? Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal?
Which means why is kamuhu tenun cloth expensive? Kamuhu is a woven cloth from Buton Island, Southeast Sulawesi. Kamuhu is an intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. On the other hand, there are many variations of woven cloth across Indonesia, such as terfol from Papua, pandai sikek from West Sumatra, ulos from North Sumatra, and endek from Bali. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
Mengapa? Mengapa?
Which means why. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Gunung Daik by Trio Noname. The song Gunung Daik or Mount Daik was composed by Fauzan Azima. The lyrics describe the beauty of Mount Daik in Lingga Regency, Riau Islands Province. The mountain, which rises to a height of about 1,165 meters, is the pride of Lingga Malay community, with various folklore stories and legends of the Lingga Malay Royal Knights. Mount Dyke has a three-pronged peak, namely Mount Lingga, Pejantan, Cindai Menangis. Well, listener, let's enjoy the Malay song Gunung Dyke by Trio Noname. Enjoy!
Tinggi menjulang, tinggi menembus awan. Gunung Dae, gunung cantik yang menawan. Kau terlihat tetap nampak walau nun jauh. Kau memanggil tak rela kami menjauh. Terkadang puncamu diliputi awan. Gunung Dae, gunung cantik tetap menawan. Kau terpandang, kau dikenal lebih nan jauh. Kau dijadikan pantun serta nyanyian. Gunung Daik puncaknya bercabang tiga. Gunung cantik patah satu tinggal dua. Gunung Daik banyak menjadi cerita. Budi baik selalu dikenang jua. Dari jauh warnamu bersemu biru, ditimpa mentari puncak berkilauan. Kau jadikan kebanggaan anak dan cucu, walau jauh kau selalu dirindukan. Kadang puncakmu diliputi awan. Gunung Dae, gunung cantik tetap menawan. Kau terpandang, kau dikenal lebih nan jauh. Kau dijadikan pantun serta nyanyian. Dari jauh warnamu bersemu biru, ditimpa mentari puncak berkilauan. Kau jadikan kebanggaan anak dan cucu, walau jauh kau selalu dirindukan. Gunung Daik puncaknya bercabang tiga. Gunung cantik patah satu tinggal dua. Gunung Daik banyak menjadi cerita. Budi baik selalu dikenang jua. Gunung Dae kau berdiri dengan megah. Gunung cantik di tanah bunda Melayu. Gunung Dae kau hilangkan rasa gundah. Budi baik akan dikenang selalu. Budi baik akan dikenang selalu.
Aku dendangkan menjadi purwa.
Voice of Indonesia.